Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
School bells will be ringing soon for thousands of youngsters across the District of Columbia. Tonight, we talk with parents, teachers, and students about their hopes, dreams, and concerns for the new school year. This is part one of a two-part series entitled DC's Back to School Basics. Good evening, and welcome to our WHUR, WHUT-TV Wednesday edition of the Daily Drum. It's no secret that safety tops the list of concerns for just about everyone these days. That issue is amplified for parents, teachers, and students as classes are set to resume in just under 2 weeks. So, what's being done to improve school safety? And just how are teachers, parents, and students feeling about heading back to the classroom? We will hear from all of them tonight. We also want you to sound off on this really important issue. You can join the conversation. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. You can also join us online using the hashtag #BackToSchoolBasics. That's back, the number two, school basics. And of course, you can watch tonight's conversation on WHUT-TV's YouTube page. My guests are Latasha Williams-Tolson. She's a parent of a 13-year-old student at Elliott Hine Middle School in Southeast D.C., Jacqueline Pogue-Lyons, president of the Washington Teachers Union, and Taylor Muey, a 13-year-old freshman at McKinley Tech High School in Northeast D.C. Thank you all for joining this really important conversation.
Thank you for inviting
us. Thank you for having us.
Let me start by getting each of you to grade school safety. We can use a traditional grading scale, A, B, C, D, or F. How would you grade school safety in DC public schools? Latasha, let me start with you.
I would give it a C+.
Why?
The environment could be a little bit more safe, especially when it comes to bullying, because I've experienced it as a parent. My daughter was bullied. And I think they can handle things a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. How is your daughter now after going through that kind of thing?
She's doing fine, but she's looking forward to a new school year and praying that this doesn't happen to her this year.
Mm-hmm. Taylor, how would you grade school safety?
I would also give it a C+ or B- because I've also experienced bullying. And I think it's, like, it can be really hurtful, especially when you don't know what's going on in that person's life.
Mm-hmm. What kind? In person, cyber, what, if you don't mind sharing?
Mostly in person.
Mm-hmm. But you're doing all right now?
Yes.
Good to hear. Ms. Pogue-Lyons, your grade, obviously this question comes after this survey that was released by the teachers union about school safety and other issues.
Well, I would say that the concern about safety, I would give everyone a grade of a B because it is a concern of all staff in the schools, administrators, teachers, custodians, everyone is concerned about it, and they're talking about it. But because we all exist in silos and we're not coming together to grapple with the issues of violence, especially since COVID, where everyone is talking about they've seen an uptick in violence all over the school community, I would give it a C-. But I know that because it's a concern of everyone, if we could just all come to the table and stop existing in silos and understand that everyone's voice is important in trying to grapple with this problem, we could make quick improvements.
Talk to me specifically about some of the results of this survey related to violence, as well as your specific list of recommendations. I've read some of it this week, and I must say it was a bit shocking to me, the student-on-student violence. We know that happens, mm-hmm. but the student-on-teacher violence I thought was particularly disturbing.
It is disturbing, but oddly enough, our teachers in the survey are more concerned about student-on-student violence than they are about the violence against themselves. So that was interesting about the survey. What's also interesting is that 55% of our teachers said they witnessed some sort of violence in their schools. And 45% have said that it has even made them think about getting out of the profession. And this is important to think about when many people don't know that the average age of a teacher in D.C. is 31 years old. So that lets us know that we're great at getting wonderful people to come and work in the district, but we're not really good at keeping them. And if we're going to see great outcomes in our students, we've got to get the teachers to come and we've got to get the teachers to stay. Mm-hmm. And so we have to really deal with issues of violence, because if 45% said they're thinking about leaving, that's important.
Yeah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a special edition, our Wednesday edition of the Daily Drum on WHUR and WHUT-TV. DC's Back to School Basics, where parents, teachers, and students are speaking out. If you have a comment, if you have a question about this really critical issue as we head back to school in less than 2 weeks, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Williams-Solson, I want to go back to you. You kind of touched on some of the issues that your daughter has encountered regarding bullying. Can you drill down just a little bit more? I mean, now that school is beginning in just a few weeks, what are your concerns for her safety?
Well, first it starts with social media. That's where it starts. Social media and the cell phone, the group chats and the group texts. I'm just concerned that when my daughter goes back, that we don't follow, because throughout the summer, she's experienced some of these young females contacting her through phones or blocking their number, and she's upset. I told her, just calm down and look forward to the upcoming school year. Now, my concern is that the staff would be on hand, because these young ladies are getting in the bathrooms and wanting to jump her. She's calling me from the office, and I want them to basically be on hand, because I want to be able to know that my daughter is at school in a safe environment while I'm at work.
Taylor, you haven't started high school yet. You just finished middle school. But you had a chance to see some of the chaos and foolishness that was just described. Why do you believe these things happen?
Sometimes I think it might be, or it could be, jealousy. It could be a way of, like, if they're dealing with something at home and they're putting, that's just their way of, I guess, coping or trying to deal with it, putting it onto someone else. Or maybe that's just the way that they grew up, or the people that they were raised around. And, like, they couldn't break the habit because nobody taught them right from wrong.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you hear a lot of that, Ms. Polk Lyons, yes, from the rank and file teachers. What are they telling you about it?
Well, I agree with Taylor. It was well said, and it's been exacerbated because of COVID. Many of our children over the year and a half that they were home in D.C. public schools, they experienced some things that we don't even know. Many of them experienced loss. Many of them didn't have the social outlets that they needed during COVID, and so teachers started telling us the year after we came back in person that they had seen an uptick right away. And we were just hearing story after story where normally you'd be able to, as a teacher or as an administrator, readdress that poor behavior. But what teachers were finding is you couldn't readdress it. And then if you tried to, move up the consequences or talk to the families that something happened during COVID where there was just a disconnect and you couldn't easily fix the problems. And so one of the things that we've suggested, we've reached out to DCPS and we gave the district and DCPS a memorandum of agreement of 17 proposals that we feel we could start right away in order to deal with the problems of violence in the schools and the things that Taylor has talked about.
Because tell like me she about said, that. I mean, what was in the agreement? Specifically, what is it that you want DCPS to do?
Well, we have something called SCOPE, one of the proposals that we put out, which is called School Committee on Operational Preparedness and Emergency. So it's called SCOPE. And that means we bring community, parents, students, everyone together to grapple with what's going on in the school. So everyone comes to the table. It's just not the district dealing with it, but everyone coming into the table and coming up with real solutions to the problems that exist. We also want to expand safe passage so that children don't have to worry and parents don't have to worry about kids getting back and forth to school. One of the saddest things that we dealt with, and we dealt with a lot of loss in the school system, in the DC public school system, a lot of tragedy with both teachers and parents. And what is most tragic is we had a student at Roosevelt who was shot. And just hearing the stories of people trying to get help for that child, medical help, and unfortunately, the student died. And just the students, the teachers, the staff grappling with that loss, finding ways to help the students and everyone in the community grapple with that loss. And one of the proposals we also had is give out a yearly survey to teachers to see how they're dealing with it and making it public so that everyone can say, okay, this is what happened in this school community and how are we going to rectify it? How are we going to make it right? But if we're all, like I said, existing in silos, we can't, it's not going to be productive.
What kind of reception have you gotten from DCPS about this memorandum of understanding?
Well, as of yet, we haven't gotten a response, but what we're hoping is that we didn't get a response with the memorandum of agreement, but unfortunately, our contract ends in September, and hopefully many of your listeners know that we just signed a contract in November. It was a hard fought and a hard won, and we're happy to say that we believe this last contract will be helpful in getting and keeping teachers, but this contract ends September 30th, and what we're hoping is that this MOA can be rolled into the next contract. We can put this in the contract and say, this is officially how we're going to deal with violence in the schools.
I do want to ask you more about the contract later on in the program. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is part one of a two-part series entitled DC's Back to School Basics, part of our Wednesday WHUR-WHUT TV Daily Drum Broadcast. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Tish, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tish. What's on your mind?
So, yes, I just heard about the SCOPE program, which sounds like a great thing that can really help. What I think in the school system is that they need to use social media to reach out to the kids that are affected by bullying. Also, just for ways to communicate or for ways for them to communicate. There was this network that I had read about for mental health where they had a way that people that were in trouble or had concerns, that they could send a text out to someone in the administration that they can reach out to them faster and quicker to address any issues or concerns. I think that would be a more powerful way of reaching these kids while they're in school, to create some type of platform where they can text and communicate if they're in trouble or have any concerns, send a text to this text, which someone in the school administration will handle these messages so they can, you know, address these issues. just using the social media platform to help in the school system, I think will make a big difference for some of the trouble that these kids are experiencing while they're in school.
Okay. Tish, thank you so much for your phone call. What about that, Taylor? Do you think that it would be effective if responsible adults, administrators, teachers, what have you, are part of that social media communications tree for young people? Or do you believe that young people are really listening?
I think that it would be helpful because, like, to know that there's somebody that's willing to help you and take the time to help you, and especially that it being on social media, and it's because it's more common in kids today. And, yeah, I think it would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that, Ms. Williams-Solson, about the, because you expressed some concern about social media earlier.
Yes. That would be a good way, just to piggyback off of what Ms. Taylor said. I agree, but if they do go into the social media route, just hoping that it goes in a good direction, because things can be taken out of whack mm-hmm. on social media.
You seem to be very, very concerned about not just this overall, but also, you know, the future of your daughter's, you know, health and welfare, or safety and welfare moving forward.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes. I've met twice with two different incidents. One incident, my daughter was approached by the parent. And I pick up my daughter every day. So I was just happened to be there. She called me crying. And I went to her aid, and the parent, of course, came to try to attack me when that other student was in the wrong. But the administrators did step up and step, you know, in place to assist us. And throughout all the commotion, the parent wound up calling to apologize. So I do commend her for that when she actually heard what happened.
I was about to say, we often hear about students, children, being children. But I don't think I'm overstepping it to say that sometimes parents aren't parenting. And that, I would imagine, can be very, very problematic.
We've not just heard from teachers, but we've heard from school leaders who are saying the exact same thing, where they'll break up a fight on one side of the block. They think everything is okay and everyone's going home, and they'll go around the block and see that the fight has started again and that parents are egging it on. I've heard stories like that. Just like I said before, not only have the children gone through something during the pandemic, the parents have gone through something. And there's been, in many cases, lots of loss and lots of connections that people had socially may have broken down during the pandemic. And so what we have to do is put a lot of effort into wraparound services for our kids. That means counselors, social workers, psychologists. And for many of those positions in the school, we don't have enough people to fill those positions. We get the great people, but we can't keep them. And again, I keep emphasizing the age of our teachers it's lower, it's 31. So we get wonderful people, but we have to know in a place like DCPS, teachers can sometimes make 24% less than their peers in this very expensive city. So we have to think about we have to think about that many of these young people have student loans that are higher than what I had 30 years ago when I finished school. So what are those things what are we going to do to keep those people that can offer the services that are vital to our students and to our parents to help them in this time?
Yeah. 202-319-7810. Quickly, Jeffrey, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Good evening to you, Harold.
Jeffrey, you got 30 seconds. What's on your mind, man?
Okay. So I think that I grew up in Harlem in the 70s. And one thing the teachers got to do back then is that they went into community. I remember this guy came to my house. I don't know what he said to my mother, but when he left, my mother handled my behind. The teachers, I think, need to get back into the community and groups somehow. They need to be connected with the streets, find out what these kids are going through. They know what they're going through. They need to get back in the streets in groups. They need to connect with the kids on a different level. And I think the system needs to create something to where it's a requirement into an education, something where there's some type of community interaction with these kids in their environment. I think that could be one of the solutions.
Jeffrey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your phone call. Nico calling from DC. We're going to talk to you next. Please do not hang up the phone. We are going to take a quick station break and say goodbye to our 96.3 WHUR audience. This conversation on DC's Back to School Basics will continue in just a moment on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM, as well as on YouTube, WHUT-TV. Phones are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a bit.